This is CliffCentral.com.
The great David Bowie. CliffCentral.com. It is Tuesday the 15th of January. We've got a whole year ahead of us, but we're already halfway through the first month of the year. And it feels like everybody is getting back to work this week. It feels like things are getting busier. And if it's your first week back at work, be strong, brothers and sisters. I remember last week it took me a little while to get back into the swing of things. I felt tired by 10 o'clock every day last week.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that it was so hot as well, because you're obviously exhausted by the heat. Jeez, yesterday afternoon, I was stuck, and I'm sure you were too. If you were at work, you don't have much option. Maybe you've got aircon at work. I actually very much considered, as a serious proposition, getting into the car and turning on the aircon. It was that hot. Ooh. I couldn't work. I pulled out my laptop and I thought, oh, let me do some work. I got to answer some emails. Well, that idea didn't work because I was sitting there schwitzing, going, this is not going to happen. So then I thought, well, maybe if I just lie down a little bit, then I'll wake up in half an hour and I'll be good to go. Well, that was a bad idea because it was too hot to sleep. So then I thought, maybe I should go to the gym. Hot to do exercise, then you're really schwitz like a chaza.
No, you'll die, basically.
So I didn't know what to do. So for a little while there, I was actually going,
like a chameleon walking.
Yeah, I didn't know what. So I didn't know what to do.
I've done that before, getting into the car.
Did you?
It was in the Cape. We were on holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And we rented a place that had no aircon.
Mm-hmm.
And there were eight of us, and eventually we just got into cars and took a drive to nowhere, because that was the only way to escape the heat.
Oh, first world problems.
Yeah.
But I seriously, for the first time in my life, thought about maybe I should have got some aircon, at least in the bedroom. You know, yeah. they say optimal sleeping temperature is like 18, 19 degrees. So if it gets warmer than that, then you actually don't sleep very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can vouch for that.
Yeah, I'd love to have one, but it's... You've got to get a proper one.
Yeah, and I don't know if I think it's entirely healthy. Some people tell you it dries you out.
Yeah, sinusitis issues.
I don't know. It's 1, maybe 2 months of the year that it's unbearably hot, and then the rest of the year is your aircon just sits there.
Mm.
It's not like you're going to turn it on the whole time.
Although you get the ones that then can create heat during winter.
Oh, but it is expensive, huh? Put those in. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
So it's something to think about. All right, there's loads of stuff in the news I want to get to. And, of course, you can call us if you'd like to be a part of the discussion. You can also message us. Please, Ken, this is a couple of messages here that have come in. You can message us on 0797482090. Someone says, what happened to Nolo? Well, Nolo was an intern, and her internship came to an end. So that's kind of what we do around here, is we try to give everyone a chance for at least a couple of weeks, and Nola was an intern for almost half the year. Some people commenting on the Nomuzi Mabena thing, and then this is for Leanne from Mike in Canada.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, Leanne. This is for you. I've been going through so much. My father-in-law is in a coma, sleep apnea, and you have made me feel normal. Thanks from Mike in Canada. I think Mike has sleep apnea and his father-in-law is in a coma. I don't think those are
okay.
The same thing. But there we go. Two problems that you can sympathize with.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry to hear.
Yeah. And then someone saying about the Nomuzi Mabena, it's Cassandra saying that the issue was not drunk driving. The issue is SAB pushing their own agenda. Castle-free alcohol... Or rather, alcohol-free beer. What are you doing, Siri? Castle-free alcohol-free beer was also launched late last year. No, Cassandra, this is not an SAB thing. It was actually VW who put that campaign with Nomuzi Mabena together. So I think you're getting your lines crossed. Anyway, in the news, Jeff Bezos. We were talking about him a lot last week. He is getting divorced. He's reportedly very embarrassed after his new girlfriend shared their private texts with a friend. You can't trust anyone.
No, you can't. His girlfriend, in case you need to be reminded, is Lauren Sanchez.
Sanchez.
She's a TV news anchor. Mm-hmm. She apparently was very excited by these raunchy love notes and shared with not one friend, but more friends. And of course, one of those friends then sent the information on to the media. And so began the public divorce, the allegations of an affair, etc.
Sanchez.
Apparently, he's hugely embarrassed about the details of what have been sent be made public.
Read some of those out to us.
I haven't got them, actually.
I read them out the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was it?
Saying things like, I'm...
Oh, no.
I want to taste you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I
yes.
want to
no,
drink
I do
coffee
remember.
With you
yes.
in
oh, yeah.
bed.
They were quite romantic.
I want to be with all of you.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yes. That's
just
right.
a little bit. No. Of course he's embarrassed. If any of the messages... Listen, stop being judgmental for a second. If any of your private text messages to someone that you're interested in were suddenly published for all in the world to read, wouldn't you be embarrassed? Don't pretend you wouldn't be. I mean, even if they're totally above board, there's nothing gross about them. They're still private.
It's just gross because it's someone else doing sexy stuff, which isn't sexy unless they're very sexy.
And Jeff Bezos is not sexy.
He ain't sexy.
Lauren's sexy.
Yeah, she
is. Good-looking woman.
But she's in the dog box. Apparently, he's very upset with her and has told her in no uncertain terms.
Sure.
Yeah, well, I get that. Jeez. Remember that bookie voice note a couple of months ago?
Yes,
that
yeah.
butch guy who's like, yeah. you're my bookie. I love you so much, my bookie. It was probably endearing to the bookie, but not to all of us. We found it too much. And, yeah. I was saying to
listen, trying to you got to respect people's privacy. I mean, you don't have to follow any rules because there aren't rules around this. I certainly think that you're not allowed to indulge in revenge porn. There's even legislation that's being tabled at the moment to prevent that, that will put people in jail and certainly fine them for huge amounts of money if you put out revenge porn, if, you know, you publish a naked photo of your ex-girlfriend because you're trying to get back at her. You can go to jail for that. And certainly in the future, you're going to. There's a piece of legislation that's being passed as we speak that we'll see to that. But private messages should be private messages. Let's all have a little respect for each other. Otherwise, how the hell are we going to have relationships?
Mm.
How are people ever going to communicate if they can't be sure that their communications are just between them?
It's like bathroom time. It's private to anyone.
Right.
It's just not the case now that everything is out there. And I wonder, I think, you know, the public opinion is one thing, but I think Jeff is most ashamed and embarrassed in his personal settings. Now he can't walk into the office without thinking, oh, shucks, what does Bill know?
That's horrible.
Did Greg read everything? Because all of these texts are out there in the open. Do you guys want a few more?
Yeah, go on.
On the notes, do you want to read a few more?
Well, I mean, let's just, let's see how dirty this gets. Go on.
No, they really do sound... slightly poetic, actually.
Yeah, they are quite romantic,
This is from Jeff to Lauren. I love everything about you. I love that last pic. It takes me completely out of my head. I'm crazy about you. All of you. I need to smell and touch you. I want to hold you. I know you're right for me.
I want to
I
hold
know we
you.
Fit.
Tease you. Wrap myself around
Imagine
you.
Imagine his wife reading this stuff as well.
Yeah, you see, when you say we're perfect, you're
the
perfect
worst.
Fit, that's ultimate betrayal.
Well,
yeah.
Now you know why she wants to divorce him.
And that's why
Trump tweeted on the 14th of January yesterday. So sorry to hear the news about Jeff Bozo being taken down. Being taken down by a competitor whose reporting, I understand, is far more accurate than the reporting in his lobbyist newspaper, the Amazon Washington Post. Hopefully the paper will soon be placed in better and more responsible hands. Really, kick a dog while he's down.
Donald Trump doesn't waste an opportunity to do that, huh?
Jeff Bozo. Jeez, Trump.
He hates Jeff Bezos because of the Washington Post, which always reports all the negative stuff about him.
Always critical of Trump.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like Donald Trump's hands are clean in the affair department. Come on. We're trying to kid. Anyway,
Super
look,
Mario Mushroom.
I would, even though those messages are not awful, they're not...
No, they're not...
Dirty.
They could be worse.
They're not filth, you know.
I mean, you remember that. Years ago, long before we had text messages, there was a recording of Prince Charles talking to Camilla, which was just gross and cringe.
Yes.
Where he said basically, like, he wanted to be inside of her. And it was just like, and you imagine Charles and Camilla doing it right now. That was cringe.
Just think.
So even though Jeff's,
I think Camilla must smell like old curtains, like dusty.
Shame, leave her alone.
I know you've always said that about her. You she's do the seem real to protect
princess.
Her.
I feel like she's the real love story. Everybody loved Princess Diana because she was so beautiful, but Camilla's the real love story. Charles and Camilla loved each other from whenever. The fact that they eventually got together—that's the fairy tale. I know people don't want to hear it. Because the princess in this fairy tale is not as pretty as you, as your, no, your fantasy princess.
She's the frog.
Yeah, but Charles loves her. She loves him.
No, good for them, really.
They're so good together.
They have my blessing.
Look at how happy they are together. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is Jeff Bezos' messages are not embarrassing to us, but for him to have them published for all the world to read, that is embarrassing. Huge. It's something he wrote down, he typed up on his phone while he was thinking about that woman, Lauren Sanchez. It was for her.
I mean, family members are going to see it, and oh no, it's awful.
Wouldn't you be embarrassed just because it was private? It was between you and her. Come on.
Bathroom time.
Damn right.
Just throwing it out there. It's neither here nor there, but do you think this relationship will last?
Well, last all it's of, already under so much exactly, pressure.
Exactly, yeah. This whole scrutiny and public opinion and. Let's see.
Hey, I saw Crazy Rich Asians.
Ah.
The movie. I watched Crazy Rich Asians. What a good movie. Just fun. A happy movie. All about people who don't really have problems because they're so super rich. But it was interesting. You get to see a side of Singapore that I believe is true, that the people of Singapore, the rich people in Singapore are just rich on a level that the rest of Asia doesn't understand.
Yeah.
There's so much money there. There are families that are just super, super wealthy. And it's obviously a fictional story, but it's about this guy who he doesn't tell his girlfriend in New York that he comes from this very wealthy family. And so she has no idea what to expect. And he invites her to a wedding where he's the best man for one of his friends. She goes, yeah, sure, I'll go with you. And when she gets on the plane with him, they're traveling first class. And she's like, what's this all about? And he goes, well, you know, my family do some business with this airline, so it's a perk. And she goes, okay. And they get there and she finds out that he is the heir to an enormous, enormous, enormous fortune. We're talking about money that you just couldn't spend in
Crazy
seven lifetimes.
Crazy Rich, as the title. Yeah.
And then the family are all horrible to her and she has to deal with jealousy and he comes from this world that she just doesn't understand. It's just a cute movie. It's like fairy tale romance. Obviously, it all ends well. That's how these romances go. It's a happy movie. But it's a cute story if you're looking for a fun story to enjoy.
I liked it. I also
watched it as well.
I watched it over the weekend, and it was like nice comfort watching.
Fun to watch, just happy.
Because as well, it was a different thing than we've seen recently. We haven't really seen like Asia depicted that way. Asia when depicted is always very corny, but this time it's just like flashy like you can't believe. It's not really ruining much, but there's a wedding scene and just what is spent on the wedding and the wife, the aisle in the church becomes a little river, so to speak, because the church is flooded with water because I'm assuming the wife just said, I want to walk on water. Yeah. Of course you can because you have the money to do so. And there are tons of people who live like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gives you a bit of insight into that.
You have to have lots of money in Singapore because you need a lot of air conditioners. It's so apparently just unbearably humid all the time.
Sticky.
We were talking about Jeff Bezos and his girlfriend, but there's another, in inverted commas, relationship that's going on in a nursing home. Did you hear about this story?
Uh-oh.
I actually did.
This is very disturbing. Apparently, a woman who was in a vegetative state for years gave birth.
Yeah.
Police want DNA from all the men who work at the facility to try and find out what exactly happened.
It's a real thing. This has happened before.
Yeah. So what do we know about this? Because I'm kind of horrified. The nursing home has launched an investigation because they found out, and let's just go to the CNN report, and they could probably tell you the story a little bit better than I can. But you imagine this woman's lying there. She's not conscious, right? She has been in this state for a number of years. Some guy went and had sex with her while she's lying there. It's just, it is insane.
Ugh.
And now they're trying to find out who it was by doing DNA tests on the kid and then on all the men at the facility. So listen to
that. A woman calls 911 from inside the Hacienda Healthcare Skilled Nursing Facility. A patient in a vegetative state has just given birth and the baby isn't breathing.
Yes.
Phoenix 911.
Oh, the baby's turning blue. Baby's turning blue.
Okay, where are you at?
We need an RT.
What is the address, ma'am?
Baby's turning blue. Baby's turning blue.
Ma'am, I need an address. I need an address.
I'm sorry.
Okay, is it a house or an apartment?
No, it's a facility.
Okay, I'm going to get paramedics on the line. You need to give them the address again.
You can hear the panic in the caller's voice. She initially fails to even give the address where the ambulance can find them. Then you hear a stunning admission. The caretakers around her did not know their patient was pregnant.
Were we able to get the baby out? Is the baby breathing? Is the baby breathing? Baby's not breathing. Baby is blue.
Listen, honey. Give the address.
Okay, so are they doing CPR?
Are they doing they're doing CPR on the baby.
Okay, good. Just keep going with that. And how's the mom doing?
Mom's doing well. It looks like she's doing well.
How far along is she?
We had no idea this person was pregnant. We had no idea this patient was pregnant.
Okay, I understand. Does she know how far along she was or anything?
We have no idea. This is a complete surprise. We were not expecting this.
CNN obtained court records that show the patient has been in a vegetative state since 1992.
1992. Bill Clinton was president.
She's
been in a vegetative state since 1992?
Feeding tube and a feeding tube, and court records indicate she is unable to make any decisions or give consent. Police made clear this is a sexual assault case, and they are already collecting DNA samples. The medical facility says that includes DNA from its male staffers.
This woman was unable to move. She was unable to communicate. In other words, she was helpless, but she was incapacitated.
Police say they were told it was a full-term pregnancy. Court documents reveal the same doctor who's been examining her since 2009 did an external well woman exam on April 16, 2018, noting her firm belly. Hmm. But she would not have been visibly pregnant at the time. About 9 months later, she gave birth on December 29th.
The baby's breathing. Oh, my God. Thank God.
Okay. Okay, and that's baby in the background? Is that the baby crying? Okay, that's good. You guys did great, okay? They're on their way. Okay.
Mother and baby were taken to the hospital where they've been recuperating from the birth.
Of course.
Their family hails from here.
She has no idea.
No. She sounds like she's like a 3 on the GCS, which is the Glasgow Coma Index.
So how does that work? What is 1 and what is 10?
1 is dead.
Oh.
And 10 is you and I. And it's all measured on your responses. You know, if you ask the person to blink, can they blink? Can they use hand signals? Can they talk? Can they communicate?
If you stick a pin in their toe, they'll feel it.
Yeah. She's like way down there.
Sure.
I have so many questions.
Go on. Let's try and answer them. What the hell? You got nothing else to do.
Firstly, it also is a marvel at what technology can do, or the human body can do as well.
Not technology. This is just like, shows you, even a... This is why, I hate to say this, a lot of people are going to be very upset by this, but it is not hard to have a child. You're biologically capable, everyone is, even this woman in a vegetative state is.
But I mean, combined with technology, the fact that she wasn't moving around, the fact that she wasn't physically eating food, but getting fed through tubes,
but you know
she
what
was
I mean.
Able to...
This woman's been lying there since 1992. She doesn't know if she's a teapot or a hockey stick. She's not even conscious.
No.
And she just gave birth to a baby. This is why when someone says, we're pregnant, I don't think they deserve a present.
Oh, my word.
That is 26 years ago.
26 years she's been lying there in this vegetative state. I mean, her family must have given up on her at some point.
Yeah, and now they've got a baby to look after. Still funding this? Yeah.
And how? What do you say to the child once the child has grown up? Because I'm not trying to be pessimistic here, but if you've been lying in that state for 26 years, I think the chances are highly unlikely that you'll ever wake up.
You just tell the child it's a magical story and he'll know one day when he's 40.
Because the patient is in this state because of a near drowning incident back in the day. And for 26 years, she's been lying like this. And how really, you know, they tell pregnant women to exercise and to move around. She was just lying there.
Yeah, it turns out you can just lie. 9 months.
This is what I'm saying is biologically, it's not hard to conceive a child. Clearly, some horrible human being got on top of her and fertilized her. And she, without being aware of the fact that she was pregnant, managed to give birth to a live, healthy baby by the sound of things. I mean, it shows you how resilient the human body is and just how predisposed we are to actually procreating without very much effort or...
For some people.
Foresight or thought required.
And so even in this state, you can have biological processes happening. So I'm not being I'm not being crass, but a woman can still have her period.
And
she still has eggs.
Yep. And just her brain's not working.
Don't really have to be stimulated for your eggs to be fertilized.
Nope.
So she probably has milk right now.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing how the body just does that all by itself without her even being away.
Just an amazing story. I'm fascinated. And also, obviously the guy who did this is, sexual assault. There's a lot that
it's
needs to be answered.
It's filled to be more than that. It's really sick.
But it got me thinking. I was talking to someone yesterday about this story, and they were saying how not really common, but they've heard of cases like this in, you know, rural towns with disabled people and families, and you'll find out, like, how did that little girl who's bedridden and disabled end up pregnant? And somehow there are these sick and twisted people who take advantage of people like that.
Even I can't say if it's worse or the same or anything. It's just horrible to think about. But there's also people who do that with corpses, you know?
Yes, necrophilia. All right, so let's go to something a little more upbeat. I mentioned that I went to see Bohemian Rhapsody the other day, which is a terrific movie. It's about the life of Freddie Mercury and Queen and how the band came up with a lot of their songs and the story of how the band kind of came together and their journey and all the rest of it. Great movie. I would say to anybody who wants to see a good movie, this is one to see. But the Queen's Guard at Buckingham Palace, in kind of a tribute, I suppose, to Queen. There's a lot of excitement around that band in Britain, of course, because they're from England, of all places. So the Queen's Guard outside Buckingham Palace performed a Bohemian Rhapsody cover. This is live footage from... They've got the Guards band there and they play loads of songs. It's very good, huh?
Yeah.
The Grenadier Guards Band.
It's the most rock star-ish that drummer has ever felt.
It's very good. It's such a great song. Sure. So there they are, performing Bohemian Rhapsody outside Buckingham Palace, just to prove that even in formal, stiff upper lip circumstances, you can occasionally have a little bit of fun.
Do you think that's Meghan's doing?
No.
You know, anyone wants...
When is Meghan's baby coming?
April. Yes. mark that on your calendars right now.
Megan and Harry,
you've
got a baby coming in April. When, see, he's so excited he can't contain himself.
When you're all excited about the new Game of Thrones season,
ah,
we'll be excited about... What's the saying? Winter's coming?
Yeah.
Is that still a Game of Thrones thing?
There was a very cryptic trailer that they put out for Game of Thrones. I'm not going to go into describing it. You can look it up on the internet. But I can't wait until April. Can't we advance it a little bit? Can't we just come forward? They've already got it in the can. I'm sure they've finished it. It's sitting there ready on a shelf. All they have to do is press play. Come on, guys.
You Game of Thrones people fascinate me. I was reading up on a list of the most pirated series, and for the first time in years, Game of Thrones wasn't in the top five last year, and it makes sense because there wasn't a new season, but it was still regardless in the top 10. And this website that was releasing it was saying definitely they will be back in the top five in a matter of months this year.
I tend to hear a lot of moaning coming from Games of Thrones, whatever it's called.
Is it Game of Thrones?
Games of Thrones fans. I hear a lot of moaning and frustration and more than I do, you know, if I had to give it market on a sentiment scale, I hear more frustration and anger and impatience and questioning than I do happiness and general content with the show.
Sort of an addiction, I'd say.
The first episode of this series came out in 2011. If you're a fan and you've been a fan from the beginning, that's 8 years. 8 goddamn years. You've been captured by this series.
People have had children and they're now in big school.
That vegetative woman had a child.
Oh.
Come on. What are you talking about?
No.
You know, they are going to continue dragging this on, though. Because they are spin-offs. They'll...
Anyway, all right. So,
there's all of this.
Yeah, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole yet. Listen, we were talking yesterday about how Canadians are such nice people.
Yeah.
And we were saying, well, what is it about Canada? They just seem to have a good reputation. All over the world, people love Canadians. Well, that's not entirely true because there's a Chinese court that has sentenced a Canadian to death. And there's a huge diplomatic row that's going on as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, not all Canadians are perfect. This man is facing drug smuggling charges. He was initially given 15 years in prison.
In Canada, they give you like a written warning.
Yeah.
For the same thing that he's got 15 years for in China. In Canada, they're like, hey, man, you got to stop doing that, man. Here's your warning.
Have a nice day now.
Horrible Canadian accent, but you get the basic idea.
And he then appealed it, and China just said, stuff that. And they've now said they're sentencing him to death. He's to be executed. So obviously, Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has accused China of using the death penalty arbitrarily. Relations have been souring between the two countries. That follows the arrest of a Chinese executive in Canada, mm-hmm. and then China's subsequent detention of two Canadians. So, yeah, this guy's family is absolutely shocked. Their worst fears have been confirmed. You know, you always think, being caught with drugs in a foreign country, oh, my God, they're going to chop off your hands or kill you. And in this case, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's very odd. Look, Canadians, I think they think that everybody's government's as nice as theirs. Oh, we'll just get a warning. Don't worry. You want to take some drugs into China, no problem. Meanwhile, some countries are still pretty damn authoritarian, and they'll tell you where to get off.
But rightly so, the question is now, are they doing this just because of tit for tat?
Yeah.
And it's a man's life.
They might just be. I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, sometimes, you know, one person's life is it's more about posturing.
I mean, besides the fact that it was 222 kilograms of methamphetamine.
It's quite a lot. Hey, listen, you know who's coming in at 8 o'clock this morning? The French ambassador to South Africa, Christophe Farnot, who is the ambassador for France to South Africa. And we're going to talk to him a little bit. He's a very interesting man. I met him not so long ago at an event at the French ambassador's residence in Pretoria. thought he'd be a fun guy to talk to. France is one of the, I think it might still be the number one tourist destination in the world, but it's certainly in the top three of countries that people want to visit.
Oh, yeah.
And South Africa and France have good relations, and there are lots of things about that French and South African relationship that we want to find out about.
And it's also not a once-off relationship, our love affair with France. We want to go over and over and over again.
That's right. You've been.
Many times, yeah.
Do you speak any French?
No, but I can understand a lot of it.
Okay. Yeah. I
did French at varsity, but I was quite stoned most of the time. Also, I was studying it in Afrikaans. It was quite difficult.
Oh, the other thing I want us to do this morning is we've got to chat to Gilmore T, who's the host of the Gilmore T Vibe on cliffcentral.com. His latest take on the Zim shutdown. You know what's happened over there, right? They suddenly pushed up the petrol price. It's gone up by 150% or something. 120, 150%. It's ridiculous. It's got everybody in an absolute state. Zimbabwean soldiers were deployed to some areas of the capital where police were clashing with protesters over fuel hikes. We're going to check in with Gilmore T in a moment or two, find out what the situation on the ground is in Zimbabwe, our northern neighbor. It just seems that they can't catch a break.
Huh? No.
Zim just cannot get a lucky break. Just seems as soon as anybody there thinks it's going well, then something comes to derail the country.
And it's tits up again.
That's one hell of a way to say it, but you're right. All right, what else is in the news?
Well, there was this random stabbing of a Polish mayor.
What?
Yeah. At a charity event, of all places. So he's apparently well-loved by the people.
Sure, except that one dude.
Yeah, except for the one dude. He's the mayor of the Polish city of Gdansk, Paweł Adamowicz. And he has now died a day after he was stabbed in the heart and abdomen at a charity event attended by thousands of people. Hmm. So he was on stage speaking at the finale of the Great Orchestra of Christmas charity event. The event raises money for medical equipment to treat sick children. And he said to the audience, "It's been a wonderful day." And at that point, this assailant ran onto the stage with a knife and stabbed him. Then the Adamowicz then grabbed his stomach and he collapsed. He was rushed to a hospital, had 5 hours of surgery before succumbing to his wounds. After the attacker had stabbed him, he turned to the crowd and he said he'd been wrongly imprisoned under a previous national government that Adamowicz had belonged to.
Oh, so he's got some beef.
He's got some beef. All he said was, "I was jailed but innocent. Civic platform tortured me. That's why Adamowicz just died."
Hmm.
And that was that.
So you stabbed him.
So, yeah, his name, he's being identified as Stefan, 27 years old. He's been arrested, obviously. And he had been serving a 5.5-year sentence for attempting to steal from banks in the city.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, Gareth, how are you guys doing there?
Good, what's happening?
Nothing much. It's midnight in Canada here.
Canada, eh?
Still listening to you guys live, though.
Yeah, where in Canada are you?
I'm in Ontario, which is essentially, everyone knows Toronto.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Ontario is, it's slightly, Ontario is slightly more east than the rest of Canada, but it's an interesting place. You're just north of the Great Lakes. You've got cities like you said, like Toronto. You're right across the river. Haven't you got Montreal nearby and Quebec as well?
Montreal's essentially, if you're looking, let's say, down to Antarctica, Montreal's on your left,
mm-hmm.
and we have Detroit directly below us. That's where all our garbage goes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's where the whole lot of North America.
Landfall. We send it all to Detroit. It's crazy.
Doesn't all of North America dump its garbage in Detroit?
As far as I understand, it's not even like a joke. It really is. That's the way Detroit makes their money at the moment.
What are you doing in Canada, Mike?
Security. I came here trying to get away from it and ended up being a specialist. Thanks, South Africa.
Well, that's all right. We teach you things here that you can deploy elsewhere in the world.
Absolutely. I've been loving you guys so much, and it's just such a great way to keep in touch with South Africa, and I must just say I appreciate it so much.
Sure, dude. Hey, can I ask you something? South Africans always have a very boring and uninteresting take on Canada. They always say, oh, it's cold. Tell us some things about Canada we don't know.
Well, okay, it is cold, but I mean, like, you get used to it. First of all, if we want to just talk temperature-wise, it's probably 2 outside, and I'll go walk around in my slippers mm-hmm. and my shorts. Because you get used to it.
Okay.
It's not like cold as minus 10 with the wind factor, and then it's like minus 20, real feel, as they call it.
Sure.
But besides that, Canada's like very much just a country trying to get along with the rest of the world. I mean, you know, you were talking about that Canadian earlier that's been sentenced to death. That's posturing because of the whole arrest of a Huawei. There's a very important Chinese person that was arrested about a month ago.
Mm-hmm. So basically,
you've heard of the cell phone company called Huawei. Or
sure. And there's some kind
that's
of.
That's the only reason this poor guy's dying. I mean,
right.
So, you know, it's terrible that posturing can actually cost someone's life. But, yeah, I mean, we always, with Canadians, I feel like I'm part of that now. And we're just trying to be a good example. But we're also getting sick and tired of, like, very crazy liberals.
Mm-hmm.
The whole of Canada at the moment is starting to turn conservative, which, you know, that's how politics works. You go conservative for a couple of years, and you get sick of the conservatives, and you go liberal. And then you realize the liberal's too left, and then everyone's looking for the center, in my opinion.
It's also because you've got that pretty boy Justin Trudeau as a prime minister.
No one really likes him at the moment. It's the funniest thing. When I moved, I was like, yay, Canada, I love Canada. And everyone's like, our prime minister's an asshole.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We have in Toronto, we have someone called Doug Ford, which is the brother of the crack smoking
Rob Ford
mayor.
Yeah,
and he's now the premier of Ontario. You can't make this stuff up. I couldn't believe it. I was like, why does Doug Ford's name sound familiar?
Yeah.
And I did a bit of research, and I'm sure you remember the crack smoking mayor of Toronto.
Who could forget
it's his
him?
Brother?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Toronto is a really weird place, I'll be honest with you. Completely multicultural. When I landed here, I didn't meet a proper Canadian. When I say proper Canadian, I mean like someone who, hey, you want to go shoot a moose, hey? I'm talking about one of those.
Yeah.
I still haven't. Everyone is from somewhere else.
Yeah, Ontario, I mean, look, particularly Toronto, it's one of those really mixed up, interesting, multicultural cosmopolitan places, and people tend to have this very it's a very simplified version of what Canada looks like. It really is.
It's
a very diverse place. It's tremendously interesting, there's a huge difference between a place like Toronto and a place like Ottawa or Quebec or Montreal.
Absolutely. Toronto, Ontario is the sort of exception to the rest of Canada. The rest of Canada is very Canadian. I mean, obviously you got Quebec, it's very French.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I hear about people that go on holiday to Quebec and they're like shunned for not being able to speak French.
Really?
Like, they couldn't put fuel in until the police intervened. So yeah, it's just like France, apparently.
How long have you been there?
You know what? It's past 12 o'clock here. It's exactly 12 months.
Wow.
Exactly to the day. I landed here last year, the 15th of January. Yeah. That's why I'm actually up. I've been having a couple of drinks with the missus, and we've just been like reminiscing about our first goddamn year. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Nice to speak to you, mate.
You guys are like my connection. I used to do the News 24 thing, and I was like, I can't do this anymore.
No, it's horrible. And, it's depressing, and it's fake news.
Thank you for keeping me up to date and abreast. Dude. And whenever I talk to someone in South Africa, I know what's going on because I listen to you guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Oh, Mike, whoa, dude. One thing.
Yeah.
Leanne.
Mm.
Leanne, you know, you were talking about your mother and all the hardship that you went through with her.
Yes.
We had my father-in-law was going through some stuff. He was in a coma. And he didn't make it, but all your words it helped me help my wife with just staying strong, and I appreciate that.
Oh, man. That's amazing.
You
to
really,
hear.
I mean it. I mean it. Like, my wife was falling apart, and I'd listen to you talking about your mom making a recovery, and I had enough hope to give her hope.
Oh, man.
But he's in a better place now.
Yeah.
But thank you for that. It's one of the reasons I phoned.
Oh, that's really amazing to hear. Thank you for letting me know.
I love you guys.
All right, thanks for the downer, Mike.
No, man, it's an upper. Really, it is.
It is. Yeah.
People who help people. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers, bye. There's Mike from Canada. All right, let's go to Zimbabwe, where Gilmore T is on the line. Hey, Gilmore, how are you, man? Gilmore.
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, excellent.
Hello, listen, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's happening over there, man? It's it sounds to me like there's a lot of craziness going on in Zimbabwe.
Well, it's intense. I mean, you know, like, we recently had the fuel increase from 15 rand a litre to about 45 rand a litre. That's equivalent to African money, obviously. So, I mean, before that, with the 2%, that was put on every transaction that a Zimbabwean makes in Zimbabwe. And people have been quiet about it. But this time, people are like, this is enough. There's no way we're going to buy a litre of fuel for 45 rand. And also, there's other many problems happening in Zimbabwe. So since yesterday, we've had the shutdown in Zimbabwe, where literally there's demonstrations going on across the whole country. And yesterday, it resulted to some about three people being killed or being shot by the police because they were just demonstrating on the streets and all shops shut down. People are looting from shops, especially those that are owned by government officials that they know of. We've had civilians also just going into the city centers where people are and are marching and telling people to go back. Like, the police are telling people, go back home. So, you know, it shows that the police are also in support of the people because they're telling people to turn away and go back home and be safe. But the whole atmosphere basically reminds us of what happened on the 1st of August when people were demonstrating after the presidential elections and people were shot in Harare, in the capital. So this is how it feels like. There's really nothing happening. Schools have closed. Kids are not going to school. Shops are not working. Banks are not working. The whole country is just quiet. Nothing is just happening. Nothing is happening at all.
Gilmore, are you in Harare or Bulawayo?
I'm in Bulawayo. I was actually meant to go to Harare yesterday, but there's no internal flights. There's no buses moving. There's nothing moving.
So apparently hundreds of people have been arrested after a whole lot of Zimbabweans, as Gilmore's already told us, took to the streets to challenge a government decision to more than double fuel prices. This has added strain to a population that are already battling rising food prices, a weak currency, a near-collapsed public service system. This government really don't know which way to turn now, and they've just resorted to trying to extort money out of the population. Is that what it feels like?
Exactly. That's exactly what's happening, because after putting a 2% on transactions, it means every time you even swipe or you try to buy anything, 2% of whatever that you're spending goes to the government, or 2% of whatever you withdraw at the bank goes to the government. But we're already struggling as a people, so why are we giving the same government that's stealing from us the same 2%? So it's like we're being milked and we're cows that don't have milk anymore.
Tell me, Gilmore, where is Emmerson Mnangagwa, the president?
The president currently is in Europe. He's out of the country, and everybody's just going haywire because they're asking, with such a crisis happening in the country, first of all, you are the president announces that fuel prices are going up. It's not his position to even announce that fuel prices are going up. It's the Minister of Energy and Transportation and ETC who's supposed to announce that. But why does a president of a whole country announce that fuel prices are going up, and then soon after that you leave and you go out of the country, and then there's this chaos? The least that he can do is to cut short his visit and come back. Even Davos doesn't make sense for him to go there because he needs to be in the country and fix the economic situation instead of attending the World Economic Forum.
So we talked about these protesters. Apparently they've looted shops, they've burnt tires, they've set police cars on fire. People are really, really furious. How do you see this panning out over the next couple of days?
The least that people are being encouraged to do is to constantly stay at home, because the moment you try to get into the city center, especially where there is a riot, there is a police, there is a soldiers, you're putting yourself in danger. So what they're simply encouraging people is that stay at home. So it's literally shut down Zimbabwe. Don't go to work, don't go to school, because if you go to school, you know, I went and picked my nephew up yesterday in such a hurry because they put the tear gas in the school. And so obviously you're putting your kids' lives in danger. And if you go also into the city center driving, you're putting yourself in danger because roads are blocked, tires are being bent on the roads. So some people are literally yesterday, the first day of the shutdown, they walked from wherever they'd gone to for work after being dismissed at 10 a.m. They walked back to where they stay, about 15 to 20 kilometers, because there was literally no car which was moving on the roads as the roads were blocked. So I think if this continues like this, possibly there might be some action being taken. It's very brave of Zimbabweans, because Zimbabweans never used to, you know, take to the streets. But right now, ever since last year, November, actually not even last year, the 2017 November, people have been brave enough to take to the streets and say enough is enough, we're tired of this. So we hope that this is going to go on maybe for about a week or two, and then until action has been taken by the government that is exploiting the people.
Well, the government is exploiting people. The government also not taking responsibility for the situation they've created, because I hear that many people in government are blaming the MDC and other groups for the violence, which has broken out in the streets of Harare and Bulawayo on Monday. And obviously, this is just them trying to find someone else to blame for a situation that is entirely their fault.
Which is crazy, because even when you watch the national news, the National Broadcasting Corporation of Zimbabwe, when you're watching, they're saying that, oh, the marches, the violence happening on the streets are being caused by the non-governmental organizations that are funding people. But then who is shooting these people? It's the police that are shooting people, because people are simply demonstrating peacefully. So are the police being funded by the national government, national NGOs, rather, the national NGOs? Are they funding the police to shoot the people? No. The police work for the government, so they've been sent to shoot anyone who's trying to demonstrate for their right as a human being in this country. So it's crazy, because it's like every national-owned broadcasting corporation or station or radio or whatever is in denial, because they keep saying we're being funded by foreigners for us to take to the streets. But no, we're being funded by things that we've been going through as Zimbabweans, and it's just the tiredness of being in this country and taking all the rubbish that's happening.
Well, it's all fake news. This is the same old story they've been trotting out since Mugabe 20 years ago was saying it's foreign powers that are trying to control Zimbabwe. It's an old, tired story. It has no legs anymore. But the interesting thing about this is that obviously average Zimbabweans don't believe any of this crap, because they're using WhatsApp to communicate with each other. The internet is available. Mm-hmm. People are finding other sources for their news. So no one really believes that stuff anymore, right?
But they're shutting down the internet, because as from this morning in places such as Victoria Falls, in Harare, and in Bulawayo, they're tampering with the internet. So you find that WhatsApp is actually weird. I'm actually shocked that you guys managed to come through, to get through rather, to my phone, because they're tampering with the internet, they're tampering with our telecommunications, anything else that has to do with communicating, because people are now, Zimbabweans are telling their stories. Mm-hmm. Instead of the international world watching our local TV station and listening to our radio stations, Zimbabweans themselves are telling their stories through the use of social media. So they realize the power that social media is having right now in this communication, and they're trying to shut it down so that we are not able to communicate amongst ourselves and also with the rest of the world.
Well, Gilmore, if I were a betting man, I would place my money on the people rather than the government. It seems like the government are the ones who are in the desperate last throes of a story that has taken them only so far and won't take them very much further. I wonder what's going to happen. I hope it won't be ugly for the people of Zim, but I hope it will end this outrageously, inconceivably bad government and their ongoing corruption, their extortion of the populace. It's a disgrace that there are still places in the world where people are able to be taken advantage of by their government like this.
No, we're tired, and we hope it's going to end pretty soon, because right now people have had enough of it. I mean, you can't even catch a public transport to go to your workplace because it's costing you $5 for you to jump into the public transport. But also what I like about this is how everyone is just working together, because those that are running the public transportations, they're even hiking the prices up so much that even when you think of going anywhere, you're not able to go anywhere. So instead, you sit at home and the shutdown still continues. So this whole collaboration in making sure that everybody stays at home is incredible of Zimbabweans.
All right, Gilmore, thanks for filling us in, man. Gilmore T, straight out of Zimbabwe, out of Bulawayo, giving us the update this morning on what's going on over there. Sure. How's that? What a story.
It sounds more like North Korea at this point.
Well, North Korea at least is organized.
And that's true.
And in North Korea, people know what to do, and the government still have control. It sounds like in Zimbabwe, the government have lost control. And you can tell that they've lost control because they actually don't know how to deal with the situation that they've got on the balance sheet at the moment. They don't know what to do about fuel, about taxes. They're trying to gouge whatever they can out of the population. And clearly the population aren't going to take it anymore.
And clutching at any moment of power they can have.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like a government that's desperate. And wow.
Communication is just, that scares me the most.
Well, good luck to them. I mean, we spoke to Gilmore. I'm sure there are loads of Zimbabweans who are able to connect by various means, and they will tell us the real story.
Well, it really has, over the past couple of hours, just you never know what's coming next. Now, I started speaking to Gilmore yesterday afternoon, and he says, yes, definitely I'll catch up with you, but I don't know what's going to happen next. And you might be able to contact me, you might not be able to, I might not, you know, it's... I wonder what that uncertainty is doing to people, how they're feeling right now. It must be absolutely horrible.
Mm. You can't go about your daily life. It's completely upheaval. It's just upheaval all over. You can't leave your house.
Let's give people something to smile about this morning, especially if they're in Zim. 14 toxic thoughts to let go of if you want to be happier.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Leanne, help us with this.
These are all negative phrases that are often automatic to ourselves, but they could be destroying your health, not only your mental health, but your physical health.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, research has shown that suggested that negative thinking could be linked to physical ailments such as heart disease. So obviously we have these New Year's resolutions, but it's all about our bodies and fast food and maybe a bit of meditation, but it's quite easy to just take these 14 thoughts that we all have and banish them if you want to be happier.
Banish them.
Banish them. The first is, I'll do it later.
Stop saying that.
Stop doing it. You're just going to stress yourself out for longer.
So in other words, either don't say anything or do it now.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, make attainable goals, write them down and go and get them. And number two, any type of catastrophic thinking. So catastrophic thinking is like, oh my God, I failed a pop quiz in class. It means I'm going to have to fail the whole class, and it means I'll never graduate, I'll never get a job, I'll be living at my parents' for the rest of my life. This catastrophic thinking, it doesn't need to be that way. You can ask yourself what all the possible outcomes are, including the positive ones. So in this situation, you could say, you know, let me take more control. I have the power to do better next time, and use that thought process instead to motivate you.
Hmm.
The third one is, I'm inadequate. This happens to us a lot from watching stuff on social media, etc. Our friends who may be in different positions to us.
Yeah, that's people a very
always,
hard
People
one,
always
though.
Comparing themselves with other people, and that can make you feel terrible, especially if those people are only putting up the parts of their lives that they want you to think are great. As opposed to the parts that are true.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care is selfish. That's another thought that people have. And the way you can always think about it is how a flight attendant will always tell you to put on your oxygen mask before assisting someone else.
True.
And it should be a metaphor for life.
Mm-hmm.
Their life is so much better than mine, pretty much similar to I'm inadequate. You may think that your life sucks because someone else has a better car or some kids and a nice job and a cute looking dog and all of this, but you don't know what happens behind doors.
Mm-hmm. Look at Jeff Bezos.
They might
richest man in the world, and he's having trouble with his girlfriend.
Yep. Their life might be miserable when people aren't looking.
Right.
Number six, I'll be happy when ... So when I lose weight, or when I fall in love, or when I get a promotion, it's a dangerous game. So you need to change that thinking pattern. Instead, it's recommended, think about what you imagine will be different when you move, lose weight, find love, or etc., and how you will then be happy, and then try and cultivate some of those things right now.
Yes.
Yes.
It's not a destination.
Yes.
Like Steve Aerosmith. Blank.
No, you made me...
Steve Tyler. Steve Tyler from Aerosmith. Life a journey, not a destination.
That's what he says.
In exactly that voice, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. Life's a journey, not a destination. So if you're not happy during the journey, no destination's going to make you happy. Yeah. Sorry.
True. Number seven, I shouldn't feel this way. You know, that's like judging yourself for your emotions. And it's like judging yourself for your body temperature. It's not under your control all of the time.
Good analogy.
Yeah. You know, just let yourself feel whatever you need to feel.
Right.
Otherwise, we'd all just be happy all the time. Just let the feelings happen. Number eight, this kind of thing always happens to me.
Okay.
So that's like when the car cuts you off.
Self-pity.
Me. It paints yourself as a victim of unfair circumstances.
Stupid.
Just substitute any of those feelings with positive or even humorous thoughts and move on.
Right. There's nothing worse than someone who sits and thinks, woe is me.
Like, bummer, I'm going to be a bit late today, but it's a fluke and no big deal in the grand scheme of things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
And number nine, I wish I looked more like him or her.
Okay.
Oh.
That's a terrible thing to think. Because if you looked more like him or her, you wouldn't look like you.
Yeah.
And you're only ever going to be the second best him or her, but you can always be the best you.
And the thing about that Dr. Seuss said...
Which one's that?
Something about the
you're youer than you. Something like that.
No one can be youer than you.
Yes.
Hmm. Look at you guys quoting Dr. Seuss. And this is great.
I should have is another phrase or a thought. All about regret.
Don't have regrets.
Creates a lot of toxicity.
Yes, nobody cares.
You know.
Move on.
Just move on.
All right.
I'm such an idiot.
Do you say that often? I say to myself, I'm such an idiot. But it's just venting. I let it go. I don't really think, oh, I'm an idiot. I need to, you know. I don't think I'm a moron. I just think sometimes I do stupid stuff and then I call myself on it. But I don't let it linger.
No, I don't.
So it's a little bit of self...
part of my flaw.
Self-depreciating, but it's not. You're not letting it batter your self-esteem completely.
Yes.
And your self-worth.
All right.
I'll try is another phrase.
Oh.
Try, the word, gives us a safety net to fail.
Well, the great Yoda, since we're quoting Dr. Seuss, Yoda from Star Wars says, do or do not, there is no try.
Yes. Oh. So replace it by saying, I will do it, I will do my best, or I can do this.
But the great Macy Gray did say, I try.
She tried.
We're quoting things this morning.
All right.
If it's not perfect, it's not worth doing. You don't need to say that to yourself. If you can only do things that you can do perfectly, you'll never get anything done.
Right.
Right. And the last one, I don't know how. Rather focus on what you do know how and start using that to take small steps to what you can do.
Well, that motivational lesson was brought to you by Leanne Moll this morning. Isn't that helpful?
Yeah. You can figure it out from here onwards.
Yeah. She's not going to do all your work for you. Get it together. All right. Coming up next, the French ambassador will meet him, South Africa's, the French representative to South Africa. We're going to talk a little bit about France and South Africa, our relationship, what he does as ambassador. He has been here for some time already, knows South Africa quite well. We're going to talk a little bit about the fact that France is one of the favorite tourist destinations for South Africans and some of the interesting stories that I'm sure he has for us about being in the diplomatic corps. He has a very interesting career so far in diplomacy. He's been in Cairo. He's been in Brussels. He can certainly tell us some interesting things about that. He's been in Greece. So he's certainly a man who will have some interesting observations to share with us this morning. I'm very excited to welcome to our studio this morning His Excellency the Ambassador from France to South Africa, Christophe Farnoux, who is going to join us in just a short while. It is just before 8 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. Good morning, everybody.
This is cliffcentral.com.